Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Netflix, your weekly guide on what to binge this week.
Bertie Kinkle, the only person you're gonna scare is yourself!
Johnny! What are you doing?
Keep the noise down.
What are you doing here?
Maze, just in time.
There's a whole load of police here. Think the word, you're gonna hurt yourself. Or someone else.
How many children are you friends with?
I'm Helen Daly.
And I'm Helen Kelly. And this week it's our film special with Stefan and George.
Hi guys, I'm Stefan Curiouses. I'm our film editor and arts editor for the website. And this is our film specialist, George Simpson. We're going to be talking about two Netflix originals, and then we'll get on to what's good and bad about Netflix originals. And then a couple of little hidden treats for you to tuck into at the end. We're going to start off with a rom-com, so brace yourselves. This one is called After, and it starts, I'm going to actually go through the opening lines, where there's a breathy woman's voice, and she says, "There are moments in our lives that define us, moments that we keep going back to. My life before him was so simple and decided, and now after him there's just... dot, dot, dot." Now, you're probably waiting for something profound, shattering, mind-expandingly, blowingly original. Actually, life after him was... After. Yep, that about sums it up. One critic actually said the worst thing about this film is you can never go back to how you felt before you watched it, which is a little bit harsh, I feel. But then it's based on One Direction fan fiction, but the main boy is loosely based, without any copyright damage, on lovely Harry Styles. And you've got to remember, 50 Shades started as Twilight fan fiction, so we're in that kind of realm. You've got a good girl Tess packed off to college, leaving behind a very drippy boyfriend and a very overprotective mother. And guess who she meets? A mad, bad, dangerous boy wearing black, covered in tattoos. She is radiantly pretty. However, she wears frumpy clothes because she hasn't been discovered yet. She needs the right boy to make her bloom. And he comes buzzing along. And now we're going to take a pause, and this is a little bit mean, but our leading man is the magnificently named, I'm going to read this out, Hero Beauregard Faulkner Finds Tiffin. Now, that's a name and a half. If it sounds slightly familiar, he's the nephew of Rafe, not Ralph, Nathaniel Twizzleton Wickham Fines. So it's a family thing, but a fine family of actors nonetheless, with great names. So he pouts, he's a bit enigmatic, he sits on rooftops like a kind of emo teen vampire. As we said, wears a lot of black, and she rides a lemon yellow bicycle, just so we get the contrast. However, their eyes meet, it goes slow motion. And guess what? He's got hidden depths, and he's just waiting for the right girl to show him he can believe in love. So it's called After. Guess what happens after? Guys, were you shocked and surprised by what happened after?
The twist? I saw it come in like less than a mile away. It was so obvious. But I was disappointed at the ending because they're kind of like, without spoiling it, the way it ends, I was like, is that it?
Mm.
That is it. We're credits now.
Mm.
But I heard it's a franchise, right?
Well, there's bazillions of books. She started on Wattpad, I think it is, that like lots of self-publishing authors do, and had millions of readers, and she got a publishing deal. So there's a lot of books. I guess Netflix will wait and see how this does, because the critics have not been kind, but Netflix will check their viewing, and who cares about the critics? I didn't find it. Did people think it was a cliffhanger?
No, not in the slightest.
No.
I mean, I genuinely thought that was it. I thought that was it over. And then I went online and discovered the world. I have to say, they could kind of go anywhere with this, with it being fan fiction. Like, the sky is literally their limit. And I was a little disappointed with how boring it was. I thought it was going to be a lot more exciting because fan fiction. And then as well for Hardin to only be like into poetry and literature and stuff, I was like, oh, so he's not into music? Like, this guy's supposed to be not copyright Harry Styles.
He had there was a random electric guitar in his oh so arty soulful. He lived in, I don't know if that was the frat house or his house, in this enormous room that had hardback
and he's literature. Rich and he's gorgeous, yeah. And everyone fancies him and he's mysterious. And like, I honestly thought it was quite offensive to Harry Styles because mm-hmm. I feel like he's a lot nicer than yeah. that. And as well, like, it just nothing happened.
No.
Really, nothing happened.
The conflict, when it came, they had a falling out. It was a misunderstanding manipulated by the most blatantly obvious, I'm a bad girl because I'm going to stare really meanly every time the camera's on me, just so you know I'm going to do something awful. So there was a misunderstanding, you know, and it's that whole, so many clunky lines like, do you trust me? And all this kind of rubbish that just... Oh, I have to just, these final lines. This is in one exchange where he stands there and goes, I still can't believe it, that you're mine. I don't deserve you. And she replies, nothing could ever change the way I feel about you. Like this, they're supposed to be teenage. My problem with this, which I think you'll agree, this is really bad for women, as people, but also a really bad message because this will be watched, presumably, by younger girls. These boys don't exist.
This is literally like girls' dreams, thinking yeah. like, oh, I'm going to give up my studies for this boy. Yeah. I'm going to leave my mum, who's gone through clearly this horrible time in her life. Like she, you know, dad's like walked out on the family. Mother's struggled. She had a lovely boyfriend who was helping.
He was a bit wet.
Oh, he was yes, the
but he was very kind. Like
so he was controlling.
Yes, he was.
And she needed to get rid of him when he's like, so you go to college and you drink now. I'm so disappointed yeah. in you. Everyone does yeah. it. She could yeah, have been taking drugs.
He was just being caring. I'm going to stick up for Noah, actually, because he helped the mom out.
No.
And as well, this is literally like telling girls, like, oh, follow the guy. Don't yeah. follow your dreams. Yeah. Follow the guy. The guy's your dream.
Yeah.
No, but she's like, when her mom's like, I'm going to cut you off. Yeah. She needs that because she yeah. needs to learn to have her heart broken. She can't be in a cotton wool ball. She needs to go out, make mistakes and like be like have her heart broken and have no money because that's literally what university
is about. But that didn't really
about.
Happen. No, she got the boy and she lives with a really, really rich guy now in like some flat that he's just inherited.
Well, that's what should have happened.
That's yeah. what should
he
have
kind
happened.
Of swooped in and then the whole thing like, now you're mine, I can't believe it. Saying that she's his, like she's yes. not a belonging. Yes. Like that's not what we want. She's a person. You just need to appreciate her as a person. Say, I messed up and I can't believe that you like me. Not you belong to me. I can't believe I picked you up. Like,
and also, you mentioned those trust issues. There's the bit where he takes her to a lake. A little yeah. bit creepy, total stranger, in a car, in a massive wood with a lake at the end of it. Dodgy. But also in terms of messages, yes, okay, he's soulful and he's got all these hidden depths. And they're so careful the whole time that he's like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to.
Oh,
you
gotcha.
Never have to cover up for me. You don't have to hide anything. We can stop whenever you say stop, blah, 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 blah. With the best will in the world in complicated situations, teenage boys or boys are often not going to be quite like that. Mm-hmm. But it's giving this message that even if he's a bad boy, don't worry. He will still respect every boundary and worship you and you will be safe. And there's just really bad mixed messages in there as well. Really unhealthy, I thought.
Have these people lived? Like, have they gone through heartache and stuff? Like, do they know what it's like being a teenage
girl? It's fan fiction.
Yeah, but
nothing
that's
bad
not
happens
point.
In fan fiction.
But it's just, for people that yeah. haven't. I mean, it's basically yeah. for, no disrespect, there are lots of fantastically bright 12, 13, 14-year-old girls out there. But it's for the ones yeah. that just want... And we'll talk about later Netflix films. It's in all of us. We still want to kind of feel like that idealistic teenage swoony fantasy, one day my prince will come. But I have a fair amount of issues with the big Disney message in the first place. This, for me, is outdated.
Very.
I think it's interesting that you brought up the audience, the 12 to 14 year olds, because I honestly didn't read anything about this film. And then I said to my flatmate, oh, I have to watch this film this week. It's called After. And she literally started screaming because she's an original 1D fangirl. So she started screaming and she was really excited. And she was like, right, I need to watch it with you. It's about Harry Styles, you know? And I was like, wait, what? And then, yeah, so I told her, I was like, the film is absolutely pants. Like, sorry. And she was like, I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's yeah. fan fiction. I have to watch it. And one thing while we're on the topic of One Direction, anyone notice that all of the tattoos that Hardin had were exactly the same as Harry Styles?
Because I I don't know my Harry. So all the cards on his knuckles and everything.
Yeah. Everything.
So that's
the bolt on his back, like absolutely everything is exactly the tattoo.
No resemblance to persons living or dead intended, but.
But actually, it's a coincidence that they have the same tattoos.
Just wait until the next one when he starts wearing like Gucci suits and stuff.
Yeah, he turns into like a 70s
bit Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want a boy that acts like Mick Jagger. That's
as long as he's got the moves.
So yeah, I think people are going to watch it. It wasn't even a guilty pleasure. I was entertained as I groaned and chuckled. I couldn't believe they said what they said or did what they did. And it was slightly disturbingly entertaining because of that. And I have to say, as a shout out, Josephine Langford, radiantly gorgeous, but in a slightly normal size and shape. I hadn't realized until checking up that she's Catherine Langford's sister, who is 13 Reasons Why, I Love Hannah Simon, Baker. And all of this. Talented, radiant, comes off the screen at me. So she will survive this. Hero Tiffin, what's his name? Was he a good actor or just was he brooding or just talking slowly?
I don't know if that's part of it. I was like, is this the actor or is this the character?
I think it was the script. Mm. Well, it's probably a bit of both, but... I mean, we've touched upon it. The script was terrible.
Terrible.
Honestly, terrible. Terrible. Like, no kids talk like that. I don't even think they swore, like, at any point. Like, yeah,
but
it just wasn't real.
The film's rated 12. But,
I mean, you know, that you can let out a little swear.
Yeah.
We all did. But I just think, you know, this... They probably deserve better than it, but I wonder how much all of them...
I predict great things for Josephine. Yeah. Not so sure about Hero.
I mean, I wish him well. He seems lovely.
Well, I think he's probably fine with his family and his connections. And he has a brother called Titan, I'd like you to know. And in a slightly sexist way, his sister's called Mercy, which I have a problem with. The girls have all got slightly empathetic, lovely, sweet names. And the boys have all got rampant macho hero and Titan names. So maybe he was the right one for this film. Anyway, moving on. George, who's been noticeably quiet on the 12-year-old girl.
Not into Harry Styles.
It sounds like a Mr. Masterpiece.
However, he knows all about action. George, tell us about Point... I'm not going to say Break. Blank.
Yes, Point Blank. So this is an action remake of a 2010 French film of the same name. And it reunites Anthony Mackie and Frank Grillo from Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Mm. And Avengers Endgame as well. So it's... It might be one that might interest the Marvel fans, you know, from the trailer. And this is this kind of reluctant buddy team-up thriller. And it starts off with Grillo's criminal Abe. He ends up in hospital after a shootout, and his brother needs to bust him out. So he kidnaps the pregnant wife of Anthony Mackie's Paul.
Very, very, very pregnant wife.
Yes. And Paul is a nurse who's overseeing Abe in hospital. So Paul then has to reluctantly bust Abe out, and the two find themselves teaming up to pursue their differing interests whilst being chased by the cops. So yeah, it's quite generic. It's very sort of action B movie that might remind you of something Bruce Willis is doing in his later years, or maybe Dave Bautista's maybe doing now, the kind of thing that's straight to digital download. Mm-hmm. I found it quite uninteresting. You could see the twist coming a mile off. I mean, the acting's fine. They're fine actors. But, you know, you've seen this sort of thing a million times. And weirdly, it's very short. It's 80 minutes. Like, just with a bit of end credits afterwards. And it's with a shoestring budget of $12 million, which I think is like some episodes of TV cost more than that these days.
Okay. Ladies, was there anything entertaining or... I know. Did you see that twist coming a million bazillion miles away?
It was all very kind of obvious. Yeah. And I'm actually glad that it was 80 minutes because I don't think I could have taken any more. I watched the last half an hour this morning and was like, what? Like, really? That's what I saved the last 80 minutes for?
There was a fight in a car wash.
Yeah.
I was entertained by the car wash. It was just kind of amusing. And I'm a big fan of Marcia Gay Harden, who was playing the... female cop with a 12-bore shotgun. I'm not sure cops actually walk into places with 12-bore shotguns. Whether or not they use them, we won't spoil what happens with that. There's much, much, much better films about corrupt police and reluctant buddies and even action.
And there's Line of Duty, which if you want corrupt police, you just go watch Line of Duty.
Well, Anthony Mackie was in 999. Have you seen 999?
I haven't.
It's sadly not on Netflix. Boo Netflix. But 999 is spectacularly good. And it's got Anthony Mackie, it's got Casey Affleck, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Gal Gadot, and Kate Winslet as a very hammy Russian mobster. She's not even the wife. She is the mobster. It's brilliant. But that's nerve-wracking and tense and horrible and twisting and awful. And you really, really, really are stressed out and worrying. This one was... these were really massive themes, and I just was like, it felt like a sort of buddy, and it ended with a sort of a birthday cake and a happy snap. And
yeah,
I get my track numbers wrong, but it ended up with, was it Here I Go Again Down the Road was the track playing as someone went Here They Went Again Down the Road with the music playing and the sunglasses on, and that literally summed it up. So not impressed.
It was just all a bit rushed, really. I mean, like you say, it was incredibly short. And I even checked halfway through. I was like, feels like I'm coming to the end of this. And I was like, oh, I am. I thought Anthony Mackie did the best he could with it.
Yeah.
He was all right. I like him in an action role, I have to say. The rest of the cast, I just thought were a little bit misplaced. I didn't really think that anyone got to really play their part that well. You know, we've discussed the police officer, but... I didn't really care that she was corrupt because I didn't know much. I don't really know much about her. Like, she's in like what, two scenes, and then all of a sudden there's a massive like ending with her. I don't know. Anyone else?
I think the most tense moment was the labor part. Mm. I was like, oh, is she? Do you want some water? Can I get you anything?
It's over
some
very juice? Quickly though.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone's had, I mean, she was in labor for quite a while and trying to keep that baby in. So, I mean, I would try and keep it in if there's like a shootout going on nearby.
Like, well, I'd just stop. Just stop and give birth. Like, what are they going to do? They'd just leave you.
Well, what if you have to run? Because some of them weren't playing. They were like, oh, we'll kill you.
They were really evil people. Yeah. They were scary, bad people,
but
apparently.
They also had a heart.
Well, the ones on our side did, and the other ones did not at all. And it was pretty cardboard cut out. And, you know, all the actors in it deserve better. And the same actually reminds me in After... I didn't recognize the mum at first. Selma Blair. And I had to really.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I knew she was in it and I was waiting. And then I was watching the mum again and I was like, that's Selma Blair.
Oh, yeah. I really didn't.
I didn't even know she was in it. Yes. I was watching it. I was like, that's Selma Blair. That is deaf. Is it? Yeah, it's deaf. And then at the end, I was waiting at the credits for Selma Blair to come up. And I was like, I knew it. And I was so happy that I like recognized her. But she could have had more time. So I think that there's with like. The cops in this, there was no backstory. Like, what was on that flash drive without giving too much away?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was... like?
I didn't even wonder because I just didn't care.
Switched off. Yeah.
But basically everything, which is partly with After, which I felt with the boyfriend and with the mother, and then the bad cops and everything here, which we will now throw ourselves into, is too many of the things that happen in Netflix, especially with good actors they bring in, they're just there for a plot device or to move something forward. And this, for me, as we seamlessly seek into the goods and bads of Netflix original films, is everything is done because they're ticking boxes, it feels like to me. They've got a plan. This is a thriller. This is a rom-com. This is a social issue ghetto film. Whatever it might be, we've got 7 boxes to tick. And it's what makes a good film is the spaces in between the boxes for me. And that, opening it to the floor, like, for the goods and bads, that's what I felt about these two films, but about most Netflix originals.
I think what I've found is that whenever I've watched a Netflix original film, they're kind of scared to make a longer film.
Mm.
They're all very short. Mm. They're all under 2 hours, pretty much. And I wonder, you know, with something like Point Blank, would it be improved by an extra half hour? I don't think so. But
love interest.
No, exactly. Like, on this occasion, probably not. But... why are they not making longer films?
I feel like they don't have enough material. I think it's what you were saying, you're glad. I don't think each of their projects has enough substance to it to actually, I think sometimes it's you were feeling, we were feeling it was stretched to 80 minutes. They're often like an episode of a drama. They've got one idea. You're completely right. All the surrounding characters are so secondary, which in other films, they'd all have their own moments and their own interior lives and other stuff. Or an amazing subplot that right at the end it all comes together. There's only ever one plot, actually, thinking, there's one idea, one plot, and there's not enough going on. So I don't think they could. I don't think they could make 2 hours.
Well, the thing is, when Netflix works, you know, with TV, they obviously have cracked the code there.
Yeah.
They've got something like the OA, which is incredibly drawn out. And, you know, we're 2 seasons in and we still don't really know what's going on. But they've kept it intriguing enough because they've really explained it all. Whereas they don't, they don't feel capable of explaining something in, you know, 80 minutes or so.
I think the problem is that they're churning out these borderline B movies that, but with Hollywood A-list stars, because they know this is where the audience is, and we don't have to convince people to go to the cinema to see this film, but there's a star in it, and so we just need to make a film around them that has enough of a generic plot to keep someone interested so that we can get our streaming figures, which, by the way, no one else can see
unless they're amazing and then they tell you. I think the key phrase is good enough. It feels like a lot of what they do is good enough. It's not generally awful, awful, awful. It's completely fine. You can completely happy watch it on your sofa, but they're not make. Like, would you go out and pay for almost any? Shaking heads.
Like I rarely go to the cinema unless something really like that I want to see, and or I'll be like, I'll just wait for it to go on TV or I'll stream it or whatever. But I think these are what I call hangover films, where you are too hungover to like really sit through Netflix. You don't want to watch like The Office or like Always Sunny in Philadelphia again. Like you've watched everything on repeat. You just need like a film, and it's easy. And if you forget what happened in the first half, it's fine because
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really doesn't.
Yeah. I think the only films that work in this category then personally are the rom-coms, because you don't need a complicated plot for a rom-com.
No.
You can just go through the motions, and as you say, it's the easy hangover film, sitting in bed with your laptop and your pajamas and with a pizza.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just enough for an hour and 20 minutes. Oh, I feel
disrespectful to rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
Yeah, yes, I do
but,
like a rom-com.
But you can have a good rom. Yes, okay, a rom-com can work if it's not so great. But rom-coms should be better, can be better. And there's old ones. I mean, a lot of, I feel, what Netflix does with the TV where it works and the films where it doesn't work is it wants to be John Hughes. It wants to be The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, all those sorts of things. It's now employing all those actors, which is wonderful, but slightly ironic because it's putting them in a product that's like as a B version of what it did before. But rom-coms should be, I was talking about Mystic Pizza the last time I was in here. Three women, all complicated, all with interior lives. One doesn't want to have sex at all. One, her boyfriend wants to have sex, but she wants to have sex and the boyfriend doesn't. The other one is a college student that falls in love with an older man. And the other one is just thinks of herself as a bit poor white trash, which is Julia Roberts in her first starring role. All have these really painful, beautiful, really moving storylines, but you laugh and sigh and swoon as well because they're proper films that just happen to be a rom-com. I think it's really unfair to say a rom-com is good enough to be like that. It's a film. So a rom-com needs to be a film rather than just a rom-com. And actually, I feel that's what Netflix does with all of the things. None of them are a film on their own terms. They're a thriller, a rom-com. Yeah. They're not actually, they couldn't stand on their own 2 feet against any other genres. And that might be the problem.
Do you think it's a budget problem?
I don't know. They have a lot of money. I think it's a time.
Obviously, this was only 12 million.
12
right?
million. Yeah.
I guess half of that went to Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, maybe if they spent a little bit more on it.
I think it's time. I think most films are normally someone's passion project, or there's, what's that? Is it the Blacklist or something list in Hollywood where all these scripts float around for years and people bid on them and they get improved and tinkered with and they go through various production procedures? Lots of things in Hollywood. You know, films that win Oscars or hit the box office, often they're like, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, whether you loved it or loathed it, took over 10 years to get to the screen. So films often go through these massive processes, not always for the best, but time is spent on them. I don't think enough time is being spent on Netflix. They're like, we need this one, tick, 3 month turnaround. It's good enough. It's bright and shiny. They'll watch it on their sofas. So I don't think they're striving.
It's also kind of like a way that, with things like To All the Boys I'd Loved Before, it's kind of a way for like young actors. Like I remember seeing so many articles about the young actors in there and kind of brings them to the forefront. And then you're like, oh, and next they're starring in this Oscar nominated film. And it's kind of like, kind of maybe like an introduction to like a broad audience, because you'd be like, oh yeah, I watched that film, they were all right in that, maybe I will watch this other one. So it's, I kind of see it as like a bit of a step for
ego
them.
Step.
Yeah. For but, some of them,
but
not
that's
everyone.
Not enough justification to make that. But no, we're the not. Mugs that are watching someone else's sort of training wheels.
Yeah.
So we're
that's
still.
It. They're not spending a lot of money on it. They're not spending a lot of time on it. So I guess, you know, even if they don't get, you know, dizzying heights of Avengers Endgame viewing figures, they're still doing all right.
Yeah.
But then it comes back to that point that you said about it being good enough.
Mm.
The irony being in this case that it's not good enough.
And
really.
Many, I mean, I will just briefly, I ranted about it last time, but Shaft, they did spend quite a lot of time about on it. And it's appalling and is packed with the most awful, unhealthy messages about masculinity, femininity, homosexuality, everything. It's just wrong on every level. So they're also making these terrible mistakes, but they're making a lot of films that are just, they're not good. I think they're not good enough. And they've got this platform and they must have enough budget. If you get the right filmmaker with the right script and the right people. And also, you're mentioning the people they use. They're starting to do that thing I hangover admit to watching Hallmark movies sometimes when I'm very, very tired. They have their stable of actors. So you flick through Netflix, and I don't even know if they're worried about... I don't think Netflix want them to move on. They start using that cross-recognition. But you start, even with some of this... I saw some people from Elite, the Spanish series, and now making some other films, and they were in a previous Netflix drama as well. I think they're using that to kind of self-reinforce, and it's like your little family. So I'm not even sure they're striving to go beyond. You're in the cozy Netflix happy cocoon, and we're sort of lumped in there with them.
I think it's worth pointing out as well that there's two types of Netflix original. There's these meh kind of ones we've just been talking about, but there are ones that are made by proper studios who are then outbid at distribution by Netflix, and I think those are the good Netflix original films and the ones that are much more cinematic, like Outlaw King with Chris Pine. That was a big kind of new Braveheart historical epic, and I thought it was pretty good, and you could have seen that at the cinema. Probably would have been better on the big screen as well. Or the Coen brothers' latest film, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, or even Crazy Rich Asians was originally going to go to Netflix.
Really?
And that's, I think, is a rom-com that's probably too good for Netflix.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
I would have liked that to be on Netflix, because then I can watch it. Because I want to watch it again.
No, as film people, go to the cinema. We need people to go to
the
cinema.
I did go to the cinema. I go to independent ones, though. So I do go to independent ones.
Maybe I don't want Netflix films to be so good, because then why bother going to cinema?
I was just going to say, ultimately, do you want Netflix to make films or not?
Oh, no.
Good films.
Stuck in my own trap. Oops. Yes, what have you... I did enjoy some Netflix originals. What have you loved?
So, I really liked Bird Box.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh yeah, this looks quite good, let's watch it. I mean, I couldn't sleep for a few nights. I did have some nightmares. But I was really into that. And that kind of did have a little bit of people's backstories, but not enough. But I felt that that was a good length. Was slightly disappointed by the ending. But... that was one of the Netflix films that made me go and like search for stuff. Like, what was the monster really? What was this? Like, why couldn't you do this? And when something makes me want to go and search for answers and look up more, I think that's a good film.
Well, you were saying you generally forget a film halfway through watching it. So the fact that afterwards you were still... Yeah.
But I was gripped by that one. But then other things like Bright, I have no idea. Like, I couldn't even... Someone recommended it to me and was like, this is really good.
Is this the Will Smith? Elves and ogres in
confusion, like what is going on halfway through, and I just thought I've lost this. I'm just watching it now to finish the film.
Did huge. I kind of liked it, but I'm more of a kind of fantasy sci-fi geek, so for me it ticked some boxes, and that I think did very, very big figures for them.
I think so.
Got destroyed by the critics, but there's more coming apparently, so you can brighten up. Look forward to that. All right, guys, so what are hidden treasures? There's good stuff on Netflix. There's lots and lots and lots of good stuff, and there's some really great films on Netflix. Some top tips, things that people might not necessarily know about, little hidden gems.
I just watched The Perfection.
Okay.
And I'm anyone who listens to this podcast knows that I am not a horror fan in the slightest. However, The Perfection, you know, it's two female cello players who both want to be the best. They both want the attention of this guy. And it goes on and goes on. And there's a jealousy kind of storyline. There's a revenge storyline, but I won't say on who. And it, you know, it's a kind of Black Swan-esque kind of situation. Really tense. Again, not too long. Really tense and genuinely did scare me, but without being like too scarring and damaging. But yeah, some really cool effects in it. And I would actually really recommend it, despite not liking horror.
Cool. I would say that reminds me of Jonathan, or it's sometimes called Duplicate. It had two different names. It's Ansel Elgort, who's wonderful, Baby Driver, which is on Netflix, but well known. But please watch Baby Driver if you haven't seen it before. So and he's going to be in the new West Side Story as well with Steven Spielberg. And it's about twin brothers, but they're in the same body. So, and something's been put, like the neuro thing has been put into their neck so that every 12 hours, one goes to sleep and the other one kind of comes up in the head, and they communicate with a video message to each other just so they don't make mistakes and overlap because they're pretending to be one person when they go outside. It's really interesting. He's a gorgeous actor. And it was also really sad and melancholy and moving. And it was about identity and who are you? And then jealousy, because they were very different, almost like they were two sides of the same character, but they were technically. That I thought was really interesting and really little known. And I would just say for really fun, if you want a proper rom-com, has anyone heard of Warm Bodies? Yeah. Zombies. It's gorgeous. I hate zombie films. Nicholas Holt, Teresa Palmer, he's a zombie. She's the girl, and it's the way that zombies start, their hearts start beating again. It's beautiful. If you want, Netflix wants to know how to do something with 80s riffs, old soundtracks, cool people, a clever, interesting idea. And I found it really moving and a little bit tense. And it really was undeservedly overlooked when it was released. So for me, Warm Bodies, Warm Bodies, Warm Bodies. It's a really cute rom-com.
I think for me, I'm going to highlight the documentaries that are the are the good end, I think, of the Netflix originals. And one in particular is called Get Me Roger Stone. And I think a lot of people haven't heard of Roger Stone. I hadn't before I watched it. He's this political consultant in America who has been the architect of getting lots of Republican presidents into power, especially Donald Trump. And it tells his kind of story and his background and how he'll do anything to win, lying, cheating, stealing. I think he's in trouble now, actually. But he's a bizarre kind of cartoon character. He dresses like the Joker. He's like a dandy. He's a bodybuilder. And he has a tattoo of Nixon's face on his back. Oh, and it's just absolutely wrong. Fascinating.
Is he in
and
it?
Infuriating. Yes, and he keeps referring to the filmmakers as those liberal filmmakers who keep following me around. It's so funny. It's and infuriating, as I say.
That sounds like a horror to me. You want a horror?
I don't watch a lot of films on Netflix, but when I do, it is just kind of the ones that I've seen other people watching, like Always Be My Maybe, which, surprisingly, I started off not really knowing what was happening, but about 30 minutes in, so I'd be like, you know what, this is not bad for a Tuesday night. I'm enjoying this. And then that's kind of how I like that film.
Okay. And you get Keanu Reeves as well.
Oh my God, Keanu Reeves was the highlight. When he walked in, I was like, sorry, what?
What's the word, George? Keanuscence.
The Keanuscence.
The Keanuscence is happening at the moment. The renaissance of Keanu Reeves everywhere you go. Well, I might suggest, have you seen Easy A?
Yes.
Must have seen Easy A. That's rattling around on there. Friends with Benefits, always a gorgeous bit of fun. And costume drama, social issue and romance, a film called Belle. This is a true story of Dido Elizabeth Belle, she had a black mother from the colonies and a white captain, ship captain as her father. And she was brought back and left with a very rich family. And the father turned out to be, I think, the Attorney General, something like that. It's all about the end of slavery in the UK. It's about finding your place, about identity, about race. And it's also a really, really, really beautiful romance. And I cannot recommend it highly enough. So if you want a lovely film when you're a bit hungover, but you want to feel a little bit better about yourself as well, watch Belle, because it is lovely.
I will add that to my extensive film list. I'm one of those people who are like, I will definitely watch that, and it just gets added to the list.
Yeah.
And then it'll pop up on Netflix. I'm like, oh yeah, I meant to watch that. I'll do it now. So I will add it to that list.
That'll be my top tip.
Okay.
Well, we've dived into a lot of films there, and thank you so much for joining us this week.
Pleasure.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe, comment, and tell all of your friends about us. Join in the debate on Twitter at NetflixPod, where we'll be teasing details of our next episode.
So next week, it's the return of Orange is the New Black. Yay.
We'll have all the gossip you need to know now the series is coming to an end.
And we'll have Neela Debnath with us for your August highlights as well. And we'll give you some tips on what you're going to want to watch.
You don't want to miss it.
See you next week.